Welcome into the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Brentz. I'm joined by Evan Peterson. How are you, Evan?
What's up, Ben? Joining you on National Cheeseburger Day, so thank you for getting in the way of my stomach. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well. I didn't even know it was National Cheeseburger Day. I would never have kept you from a cheeseburger. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. I've had it circled on my calendar for a while now, so.
So, like, the last week? Or
Yeah, for me, that's a long time for planning ahead.
We're going to be taking over the Waiver Wire podcast this week. Donnie Miller is unable to join, so thanks for filling in. I appreciate that. We're going to just be talking about some Waiver Wire people for going into week three. So I'm sure our listeners will be very happy to hear what our thoughts are.
They should be, hopefully. That's why you click the button, right?
Why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached before we start?
At EvFWFB on Twitter, also writing over at Razzball during the week. My stream article comes out on Thursday. Also getting drunk and watching football on Sunday, like everybody else in America.
And I can be reached at BBrandisFWFB. Evan, why don't we get started this week? And one of the biggest players in terms of a complete week was Chris Thompson, and then you know, you're on Chris Thompson for the rest of the season, it seems. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about him?
Well, coming into the season, he was a deep PPR play, and there seemed to be a little bit of a Rob Kelly swell as we got later into draft season, although the Washington backfield, just as of recently, thinking back to like Alfred Morris, has always kind of been this dice roll, and Kelly never really seemed like the answer to me. Likewise, I don't think Samaje Perine's necessarily the answer. And so since Thompson has the receiving back in here, and we're not really sure how long Kelly's going to be sidelined with this rib injury, he's an interesting guy on waiver wires. I just think his role is probably the most defined on the team.
Does the lack of touches make you want to avoid him potentially in certain types of leagues or in non-PPR leagues even? Or does that not really bother you? Because for the last 2 weeks, he had seven touches and six touches this past week, and obviously he got a lot of yards and he was able to get two scores. But is that something that's going to bother you going into future weeks if he's not scoring touchdowns?
I mean, I think he can be productive, so definitely the touchdowns helped him out, but I think there's more than meets the eye to Chris Thompson. Now, you were saying, like, when we were going over notes, like 20 carries? No, I don't think Chris Thompson can do that, but I think if there is literally any bonus for a PPR back. And, we're going to talk later on in the week about the Redskins passing game a little more in detail on our Wednesday show. But it's not looking good so far for the Redskins. And if they need to figure something out, it might be, you know, shorter passes out of the backfield. And Thompson's definitely going to be their guy in that department.
Yeah, well, the thing that benefits Thompson is that he did get seven targets in the passing game. So, you know, he only had three catches, but obviously they're going to be looking for him, and he'll probably play an increased number of snaps this week if Rob Kelly's not able to go. And if Perine doesn't play well because he only had 3.2 yards per carry this past week on the 21 attempts that he had, if he's not able to get it going on the ground game, they could look to turn to Chris Thompson. So you could see maybe 10 to 15 touches for him, and I think that he'd still be able to produce in that amount of attempts. And it would be nice to see him get an increased amount. Is he your number one waiver wire ad this week, do you think?
He's up here. We're going to go over a few other names. He's the one that I'm most intrigued by. If you didn't get like a Buck Allen like we talked about last week, or there's one name on this list that I would probably look at over him, and I will let you know when we get there.
All right. And obviously, why you bring up Buck Allen, if Buck Allen is still available in your league, he's someone that I would really look to get as quickly as possible, obviously, because he seems to be the back going forward. I had thought that Terrence West had a good chance, but he didn't really get as much run this past week as Buck Allen, and Buck Allen was able to produce in the touches that he had, so I think he's the guy going forward.
Yeah, West got in the end zone. I was actually thinking to myself on the drive home to come do this, in like 16-team leagues, I would throw a bucket Alex Collins just to kind of see what happens as like a late-round play. They brought him up from the practice squad, but I'm – once again, not a Terrence West guy, and congratulations, he fell in the end zone for you.
Why don't we, before we move on to the next team that we're going to cover, why don't we talk a little about Perine? Do you think that there's any fantasy value in him, considering that they did give him 21 touches? Do you think that they're going to be looking to have him be getting close to 15 to 20 touches next week?
I mean, definitely if Kelly's not active, they got to figure something out. And like I said, I don't think Thompson's going to be set to carry the ball. Like, if Kelly completely misses the game, doesn't even dress, what do you think the percentage chance that Chris Thompson carries the ball 12 times?
I think that the chance that he carries it 12 times is probably only like 25%.
Right, super low.
But I think that he's capable of getting close to 12 touches. I could see them giving him eight carries and like him getting five catches on like 10 targets. I do see that as being a possibility. I don't know if they'd really look to give him more than 10 touches, given the type of player that he is and the fact that he had the opportunity to get runs this past week with Perine coming in and actually having to get a lot of run, but obviously he only had three. Now, maybe if he hadn't broken that one for a long touchdown, he would have had more attempts, but unfortunately, we only got to see three out of him, so it's hard for me to say that he's going to get to 12.
No, I was trying to say that I don't think he's going to get a workload like that, but I do think that on a per-touch basis, and we haven't really seen the Redskins in the red zone, but I don't really think a ton about Perine as a runner, and you know, Chris Thompson has seen minimal red zone work in the past, but he intrigues me, let's put it that way.
All right, why don't we move into the next team, and we're going to be talking about Chris Johnson of the Cardinals. Obviously, the Cardinals have lost David Johnson now for at least 8 weeks total because of the short-term IR that he's placed on. But Chris Johnson was signed during the previous week. He came and had 11 attempts for 44 yards. He didn't have any catches, but is he someone that you're actually looking to pick up going forward, or is this backfield something that you're not really looking to touch except outside of deep, deep leagues?
I mean, I think that anybody that's getting touches is worth a look. I mean, we're kind of starting to see, you know, like Kelly and, you know, different ineffectiveness. You know, you're looking for guys to throw in, and we're going to be having bye weeks coming up here very soon. So I don't understand why you wouldn't be speculating for who's going to get touches. I think we both kind of advocated pumping the brakes on Kerwin Williams because the Cardinals were going to do something else. And I don't know. This team just looks bad. I'm scared, but I think that if you're looking for somebody who's going to get touches, I think it's Chris Johnson going forward.
I believe that it is Chris Johnson going forward. I'm not really looking to have any real part of this backfield just for the fact that Chris Johnson was let go during the offseason. Obviously, he knew the offense well enough, and they didn't consider him a player worthy of keeping as a backup. And so they bring him in off the street, and they give him as much run as they did because he's familiar with the offense, having been there the last few years. But at some point, I'm just going to have to expect that there's not going to be a ton of fantasy value coming out of Arizona this year, and at least until David Johnson's back. And I think, given the fact that we'll probably only see another 6 or 7 more weeks from Chris Johnson, I'm not really sure if he's super high on my waiver wire list.
Yeah, and they have a little bit of a tough sledding coming up. Dallas is pretty good against the run. They've got San Francisco. Philly's got vamped up front of their defense. Tampa Bay, and then the Rams before their bye week in week 8. So it's going to be tough sledding for whoever it is until Johnson gets back. David Johnson. But I think Chris Johnson is the guy you want going forward here.
Why don't we stay in the NFC West and talk a little bit about Chris Carson. He ran 20 times for 93 yards in the 12-9 victory that they had on Sunday. Where do you rank Chris Carson in terms of available pickups coming into this week?
He's the guy that I have above Chris Thompson, and I'm really interested in Carson because I've been really interested in Rawls. I threw him out in this weird roto league that I'm in this week, and he, you know, put up basically nothing for me. Eddie Lacy did nothing for the Seahawks as a healthy scratch. So I'm super interested in Carson going forward. And I know that sounds super lame saying that I'm super interested, but this is the guy that I'm looking at going forward. He's got the Titans, the Colts, and then he's got the Rams before his bye. Pretty decent schedule. His playoffs look a little rough. He's got Jags, Rams, and Dallas. But, hopefully they kind of figure something else out. Rawls can become a 1-2 punch by then. I think this is the guy you want short-term and rest of the season.
Does it bother you that Rawls could easily have a 50-50 split with him, and CJ Procise is the type of player that's going to take out passing down plays, and so it could further limit his value and him potentially only get 12 to 15 touches a game? Is that something that you worry about in any capacity?
Well, I think CJ Procise could be used in different areas of the field overall because, Russell Wilson didn't have a fantastic day. Paul Richardson, even though he broke his ring finger, he came back and he caught the game-winning touchdown, even though Lockett had more catches than him. The whole wide receiving core outside of like Doug Baldwin is just kind of blah. So I think that Procise, could have his role. But I think that in having – and do you think it'd be a 50-50 split? Or how long do you think Thomas Rawls could stay on the field? He's always kind of been, a guy that's had injury here, injury there. I don't know. Graham looks like trash. This whole team is garbage, and I think Chris Carson is the spark that they might need to get things going.
I mean, we've seen Seattle be a slow moving offense to start the season for the last few years. Russell Wilson's had a rough go in September of getting things going. The running game has needed time to develop the offensive line. Even at the beginning of last year, Jimmy Graham needed some time to get his stuff figured out coming back from the injury. He looked good for the entirety of the season, but obviously, there's stuff in the passing game. If Wilson's not playing well, then everything else is going to kind of slow down. So I do believe that this offense is going to improve come October. I think it just takes some time for the offense in Seattle to get the motor going.
Well, yeah, they better get it going, because if you play in a standard league, Jimmy Graham has yet to score you a point. Just think about that.
Why don't we move into the AFC West and talk about Trevor Siemian. Trevor Siemian had a really good game against Dallas this past weekend. He had 4 touchdowns. He did have 2 turnovers, but what are your thoughts on Trevor Siemian through these first 2 weeks?
I like him. I like what I've seen. And I think, as you were saying, do we even need quarterbacks in kind of the waiver wire? Well, yeah, if somebody, thought they were good, if they drafted Tyrod and Dalton or, Alex Smith, somebody thought they were going to stream him after the New England game or what have you. I think it's it goes back to an old argument that I've said, you know, if you think the wide receivers on a team are going to be good, you kind of have to buy into the quarterback a little bit. And so if we think Emmanuel Sanders and Demaryius Thomas are going to be good, then you kind of have to buy into Simeon. Now, granted, he hasn't thrown for over 250 yards in either of these two games against a Chargers team, which I think is better than they're letting on, in Dallas. But they get Buffalo, who's kind of meh. They get the Raiders, who, you know, they might have to put some points on. And then they get a bye week. Come back to a little difficult stretch. But I do think Simeon's an interesting play, and I don't think he needs to be just swept under the rug, Ben. Why do you hate Trevor Siemian?
I don't hate Trevor Siemian. I just wasn't sure if we needed to talk about quarterbacks for our waiver wire. I understand the value that he brings, but I'm not sure how many fantasy owners accept anything outside of a standard 10 or even 12 team league are really looking to make a quarterback switch. I understand that there are some back end quarterbacks of the top 10 that you're probably not overly confident in, and you're like, oh, you know what, maybe I need to have someone. But for a team to carry two quarterbacks and a team that only potentially has three bench spots, that makes it tough. So,
well, yeah, I mean,
that's the thought process behind it. If you have a league with a small bench, it's going to be tough to pick up a second quarterback without dropping one of your other ones. And I don't really see how many fantasy owners are giving up on the player that they had drafted at quarterback that was probably a top eight pick for them in terms of where they ranked the quarterbacks. I'm not sure how many of them are willing to drop one of those guys.
Right. Well, I must be playing in way different leagues than you, because a lot of my, even like home leagues of, you know, kind of the quote unquote pushover leagues or whatever, you know, they have way deeper benches than that. And guys in those leagues carry two quarterbacks. Simeon's interesting because he's got a week five bye, and then you don't have to worry about it. So if you're a guy that is, you know, hanging on to two quarterbacks and you're interested in upgrading your second one, you're interested in a guy that's going to play the Jets, the Colts, and the Redskins during your fantasy playoffs, yeah, I think Trevor Siemian might be an interesting pickup, even if you wait until after week five. And yeah, we should talk about him right now, which we did.
Yeah, I do like the fact that he's going to have Buffalo and Oakland on the schedule right before the bye. It's a shame that he has to have such an early bye, but we'll have a good indication of where he is going into that week. Obviously, coming out, he's got to face the Giants, but then he's got the Chargers the following week and the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, obviously, Kansas City had lost Eric Berry, but they're still such a great defensive team. And we'll have to see how he does coming outside of the bye, if he is going well inside the bye. But he's someone to definitely keep an eye on. Why don't we move into the next quarterback that we're going to be talking about? That's Jay Cutler. I never would have thought that when I was doing the Waiver Wire podcast this year, that I would ever have to talk about Jay Cutler as a player to potentially consider owning or picking up as a Waiver Wire ad. Why don't you tell our listeners why you came up with such a crazy idea?
Oh, and believe me, I've ragged on Jay Cutler absolutely everywhere I could. But, I mean, he looked okay. He had an awesome rapport with Jarvis Landry, which after all of the offseason, you know, Devontae Parker is, you know, Alshon Jeffrey 2.0 type talk. I think that was kind of an interesting takeaway from week one. You know, this was the first game. This was the first getting into action. And you think about somebody like, you know, Joe Flacco knocking off the rust, you know, how could Cutler kind of start to look to progress 2-3 weeks down the road? Once again, you don't have to worry about a bye week. So if you're looking for a quarterback, if you've got somebody that's, you know, kind of worrying you, he's a guy that can be deployed in any situation. You don't have to worry like, oh, I'm hanging on to a backup quarterback, and, you know, this is when Bortles loses his job or something stupid like that if you're in a really deep league. But I think it's interesting, and I love the talent that he's got around him, even if I'm not a big Jay Ajayi fan. And why the hell not? Let's smoke him if you got him.
Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of Jay Cutler, only for the fact that while he didn't have a bad first week in terms of playing against the Chargers, who happened to be terrible against the pass or pressuring quarterbacks last year, he didn't have anything as a jump out type game. We've seen him play for Adam Gase before as the offensive coordinator, and he's basically been a game manager. That's what Jay Cutler has had to basically become over the last few years. I would like to see what the offensive talent that is around him actually excel this year compared to what he's had when he's been working with the Bears the last few years. But I'm not sure if you're going to get more than quarterback two and maybe mid to low end quarterback two value at that for Jay Cutler.
Well, yeah, and he's a guy who his career high in completion percentage was 66%, and he came out, and granted they didn't have Jason Verrett, but he came out and completed over 70% of his passes. Now, do I expect him to do that on a week-in and week-out basis? Probably not, but, I mean, he does get the Saints. He's got other cherry matchups. I think that, you know, everybody likes to rag on Cutler. Oh, he never threw for 4,000 yards. Oh, he, you know, only had two seasons where he threw over 26 touchdowns. He's an interesting play, and that's why we're here.
Yeah, I definitely think that in this type of offense, he's going to potentially have the ability to have good completion games because he's going to be having Landry as a player and Devontae Parker as a player that he can at least target in the passing game, and he's got a good running game with Ajayi back there. So I do think that he has the capability of having a decent floor to be able to do well, and he's got a couple cake matchups the next few weeks, so that's something to consider for streaming purposes, but I'm not really looking to install him as a potential fixture going forward for the next more than the next few weeks.
Well, yeah, and even if it's not guys that you're picking up right now for our waiver wire, these are guys that should be on your radar as, you know, oh, my quarterback went down, boom, Jay Cutler time.
Why don't we move into Cleveland, and we're going to be talking about Corey Coleman, who has once again been injured. He broke his hand, and as of right now, Rashard Higgins is someone that you consider picking up in Cleveland, given the fact that he had a fantastic week two. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Higgins for the people who may not know who he is?
Well, he was just recently brought on from the practice squad. I'll tell you, he's the guy that looked better than Kenny Britt on Sunday, which isn't really hard to do. And I was making fun of Kenny Britt as like the one guy that's going to walk around being like, yep, I had 1,000 yards that one year in the NFL. Rashard Higgins had one less target on Sunday than he did all of last year. But I think that he is probably, I mean, Duke Johnson looked really good, and I think I would like to see what the Browns can do when they get him going. But if you're looking for a receiving target, and I've seen things saying, you know, that Coleman's going to be out until week 8, so month and a half, 2 months, you may as well pick him up in deeper, you know, 12 or 14 team leagues, because would you rather start Rashard Higgins next week or throw out Eric Decker?
I'd probably rather Higgins, just for the fact that he played 54 snaps for the Browns. He led them in catches, receiving yards, and targets. And this was all before Coleman had got hurt, and they basically benched Britt. So I think that he's got the best chance of building a rapport with Kaiser and being able to be utilized in the game. And we'll end up talking about the Titans passing game later this week in our Wednesday podcast, but the Titans passing game isn't what we had expected at this point, so for me to rely on Decker is going to be kind of tough.
Yeah, and Kaiser left the game with a migraine, and Mary Kay Cabot, who's probably one of the most known beat writers for those of us that actually follow football, of the Plain Dealer, said that he's got a history of this kind of thing, but I mean, I don't know. Does your opinion on Higgins change if, who was it, Hogan was out there?
Not really. I think the fact that they utilized him and they seemed confident to keep him going in the second half, and that they wanted to make him a focal point so that they could try to get back into the game, I think that shows a lot of confidence that Hugh Jackson has in him. And he did all this a day after getting promoted from the practice squad. So clearly they have some favoring towards him. So I don't really see the quarterback, a potential quarterback switch, as a downgrade.
Fair enough.
Why don't we move into the next player, and that's going to be Jermaine Kearse of the Jets. We had talked about him a little bit on last week's because he had 7 catches for 59 yards. This week he only had 4 catches for 64 yards, but he had 2 touchdowns. Obviously, he is someone that the Jets are going to look to try to get the ball to because of the lack of offensive weapons that they have. Now, he did only have 5 targets, but he looked relatively good in Sunday's game, considering that they did get blown out by the Raiders. What are your thoughts on Jermaine Kearse?
I think he's what people thought Robbie Anderson was going to do when they were taking him at the end of drafts. And I think the reason that I wanted to posit Kearse, and not just because you were so high on him, is that we have the Austin Seferian Jenkins variable that's going to be coming in, who might also kind of be thrown in your waiver wire type talk. Do you think that, you know, we're starting to see this swell from Kearse? He's getting backing in, you know, certain areas of the fantasy community. Do you think that Jenkins could hinder this, or do you think it could help him by giving defenses another target to look at? I'm interested in Kearse, but I don't know that I would go nuts on him. Like, would you rather have Kearse or Higgins for the next 4 games?
I think Kearse is the player that I'm looking to have, just for the fact that I know that he's the number one option, and I don't have to really worry about anything else. Obviously, the Browns, I would believe that he's going to be utilized, this is Higgins, be utilized as the number one, but obviously, because they are in a rebuild, they could look to Njoku. I don't know what's going to happen with Crowell. Obviously, the Browns' offense seems a little bit more stable at this time, and I think that they could spread the ball around to other offensive weapons. I'm not sure if the Jets really have any other offensive weapons. And once Austin Seferian Jenkins comes back, it's going to open up the offense a little bit. And I think that Kearse, who's looked good through 2 weeks, considering that he had come in at the back end of the preseason, I think that's someone who's going to have an increased role once Seferian Jenkins is back. And I think that he could be a better option.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on the Kearse boat, and I'm, you know, if you've got a few extra bucks and, you know, you had Greg Olsen go down and you're looking for a late play, you can roll the dice on ASJ.
I agree. Why don't we move into the last player that we're going to be talking about, and that's going to be someone who is directly impacted by that Greg Olsen injury that you just talked about. That's Devin Funchess. What are your thoughts on Funchess going forward? Because he had 7 targets this past week, 68 yards. Obviously, he's going to be the number 2 wide receiver, but with the fact that Greg Olsen has gone down, and we'll have to see how long exactly he's out for, does Funchess become an interesting number 2/number 3 passing option on this team for you? Or is this someone that, because of the Panthers' offense so far through the season, that you're not really looking to acquire?
Okay, well, let's start with Greg Olsen, because I think he's going to be out probably 2 months. Foot stuff is always a little bit scary, and he's not exactly the spryest person. Is that the word I'm looking for?
I mean, yeah, I guess you could use that word. Schefter has reported that he's going to miss 6 to 8 weeks. That's an expected timetable due to the surgery that he had on his foot. But at this current time, obviously, Greg Olsen could come back sooner. He could come back later. But obviously, there is a bit of uncertainty. So we do know that he's going to be missing at least a month plus.
Yeah, and we don't know, because we've never seen him come back from an injury. He plays 16 games all the time. Like, this is just what he does. We don't know. But I'm interested in Funchess. Like, I think, and I'm not necessarily a huge Kelvin Benjamin believer. I think, you know, people were a little harsh about, you know, the weight stuff. Like, it wasn't Eddie Lacy bad. Let's not fool ourselves there. Kelvin Benjamin can still be a contributing member to his offense, as opposed to, you know, what Lacy was doing last week. But I'm interested in Funchess, and I think that it's so hard to say. Wait, is he third for you on this wide receiver list that we talked about?
I would say that he's probably third just because there's other options that are ahead of him that I understand are going to be utilized more. Calvin Benjamin is going to be used more, and I still think that McCaffrey is going to be used more. I think that they could lean on Jonathan Stewart to get some more rushes, and obviously they have Cam. So, yes, I do think that this is the best offense of the three, but I think that the least likelihood that he's going to get as much run as the other two and be as consistent week to week, I think that's tougher to say.
Are you more concerned about Cam losing Greg Olsen, or are you more concerned with the fact that he just always seems like he's going to get dinged up? He's always getting looked at on the sideline for something that, he's coming back. He looked better this week. The Panthers, didn't look fantastic, but he looked a little bit better than he looked week one. What worries you most about Cam Newton?
I still don't ever worry about Cam for the fact that I feel like he's always going to be able to play through stuff. But right now the offense just is not looking very good. And I think that they kind of just need a swift kick in the ass. And, maybe by October they start to pick things up. And, it could be similar to the Seahawks that they kind of just need a little bit of a punch in the gut to be able to get going. So,
yeah, I agree. And, I mean, they are 2-0 for what it's worth. So,
and that's the thing. They're 2-0 because they've had to rely on playing offenses that haven't been able to do much against them, and they've had a good defense so far through the last 2 weeks that has helped propel them to victories. But maybe a loss or two would be a benefit to them, and maybe we see the offense awaken.
Well, they play New Orleans this week, and New Orleans has looked downright atrocious on defense. So give me your quick 15-second outlook on the Carolina Panthers this week and what you expect to see.
I expect to see them score 20 points.
Okay, I would agree there. And so you're thinking, what, they get up and they kind of show off what they have in McCaffrey, they lean on Jonathan Stewart to take, and I'm not, trying to hold you over the fire on anything, but literally, like we said, Cam's gotten better week to week, he's going up against the defense, and he's got to, see what he's got in this offense. Where do you think he's going to go?
I think that Cam is probably going to have, 35 rushing yards, a rush touchdown. I think that he'll have 210 passing yards and a passing touchdown. That's what I expect from Cam Newton this coming week.
I think that's pretty pedestrian for what the Saints defense has shown already. I think,
I agree with that, but it's tough to say that with any confidence. And Cam's my number one quarterback coming into this year.
Oh, I remember.
For me to say that I'm expecting him to have pedestrian numbers is tough for me to do. It's not an easy thing, but this offense has not looked good. And defense, I understand, man, that sometimes all you need is a bad defense, but we have seen that there's been times in which you would think that playing the Saints defense is something that gets you going, and playing the offense is something that makes your offense try harder, and we haven't seen it work for certain teams.
Oh, man, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying 350 and three touchdowns and one on the ground, but, I mean, you gave him, what, 210 and a touch? Like, I think even without Olsen, he could throw 250 this week and two.
I think it's possible. I still think that he'll get, 9 points on the ground from rushing in the touchdown. So I think there's some value there. And, if he gets 8 points through passing and six or four through the through the air, I think that a 21-point week isn't the worst thing for Cam Newton.
Okay, so I have him in a league where I also have Marcus Mariota. It's a deep, deep league. Who would you rather throw on out? And Mariota's got Seattle this week. Would you roll out Cam?
I'd still roll out Cam.
Oh, okay, cool. My team thanks you, and so does anybody listening who has the exact same scenario.
You're very welcome. All right, Evan, why don't you tell our listeners where you can be reached and what you're working on?
At FWFB, I am working on my Razzball article, which will be posted on Thursday. I'm working on show notes for a Wednesday show with you, and I'm working on playoffs. So give us a rate and review, and you know, we always appreciate the feedback, and we look forward to catching you next time.
And I can be reached at BBrents, FWFB. You can find me on the Wednesday show for football, joined by Evan Peterson and Eric Mackey. You can find me throughout the baseball season for the next few weeks at least, joined on the Tuesday show by Mr. Chuck Anderson. And you can find me throughout the NBA offseason and once the season starts with Eric Mackey. From the rest of us at Friends with Fantasy Benefits, have a great football season, everyone.